Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Natalie, of course, StarsCast, and I want to welcome everybody tonight. This topic is going to go 2 weeks, and it's fascinating. And I have with me the lovely Maya Moon, who knows so much about it. But we're going to talk about what she told me my totem is, or my guides. I think it's probably my totem. And we're going to let her start off. But this is the guides and the, you know, we all love certain types of animals. Everybody knows Natalie loves giraffes. I love giraffes and lions. And, well, Maya will tell you what she told me, if she remembers, and I'm sure she will. But, Maya, I'll let you start it up, since really you know quite a bit more than I do. But, you know, I'll always add in, and I always end up talking too much.
Huh. Yeah, well, you don't usually lack for input, so
no.
I'm not worried about it. You'll wing it, and you always end up coming up with something. Well, welcome, everyone, and this is Maya. And as always, it's so glad to be here, and I'm so glad that you joined us this evening. And if it is your first time, this is a great, actually, I feel this is a great subject or topic to join for the first time. And for those that have been with us before, you know that our topics or subjects are always interesting. And, you know, it's our ideas or our philosophies or what we've learned or gained in knowledge spiritually. It doesn't necessarily encompass every spiritual belief. So whatever resonates with a person is what you take from it. And, you know, it's just like anything in life, what doesn't seem to resonate. Now, I will, we'll be getting, we made this into two parts because we do get to talking, and then we don't always get to go into some of the details. So I know for myself, I may kind of go back and forth a little bit. But what I had told Natalie, first of all, what I'll say is I believe that, I'm going to even preface that with saying for those that are fairly spiritually in the know, so to speak, then you're probably, you know, a little bit about lives, about familiars, people that we've had lives with before, and, you know, those that are romantic and those that we've just had relationships. You meet someone, you hit it off right away. Well, it is my belief and what I've been taught that we have our animal familiars, and those are more our pets that, you know, continue to be with us. But it feels like we're assigned, it's almost two separate things. And the right way to, I just heard someone pronounce it totem, and that's not the correct pronunciation. I know. I kind of laughed. It is actually totem. So most people should know that. So I believe that sometimes a totem and a guide can be a little bit different, and we'll get into that more. But what I saw around Natalie that was very distinct was some type of white lion or leopard. It was definitely a large cat, and I didn't see a big mane. So, you know, female lions don't have that big, huge mane like the males do, but I know that it was Snow White. Is that what you're talking about, Natalie?
Yes. Yes, and they're very rare.
I wondered about that, and I never,
yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was what the name, if it was a tiger, a lion, a leopard, a jaguar, but I know that it was white and it seemed rare and it was just, I mean, it was huge, and I just absolutely taken with these big, I mean, the greenest eyes, I mean, as if they just took the most beautiful color of jade and inserted them for eyes. I mean, that's how vivid the eyes were, and I don't even know if that even exists in nature naturally. Do
it
you?
Does. It does. I just quickly went on to Google, and I looked up white lion. They are white. They are very rare, and I'll have to look and see where they come from here. Wait a minute, bear with me here while I can quickly.
I don't think it's Africa. I think it might be like Asia or
something. I think you're right. I think you're right. I don't think it's Africa, because you would see them more often. You know,
right.
You
it
would
might
see.
Even be like China. I think it's one of those, like maybe in the Himalayas. I don't know.
Lions, they are a rarity. They appear in only one place on Earth, in the Tivati and Kruger regions of the declared Kruger to Canyon biosphere. They are very rare, and I don't know if they have green eyes. They might. I think they have golden eyes also. But it just doesn't say exactly. I mean, to tell me that it's in some obscure place, I would never know. But you can help the white lions, but they are really beautiful and they are very big. I don't know. Well, I don't know if people know, but I am writing a book or a story on lions. But that's not my most favorite animal is a giraffe. And why I started writing about lions, I don't know, but I put them right up with my giraffes now, you know. But they're trying to save them from extinction. While you're talking, I'm going to look and see if I can find out a little bit more about them. But they are very rare, yes. Oh, there's a pretty picture of them. They can have blue eyes too, Maya. Blue and golden. Blue and golden and green. And they're trying to save them. I guess they're probably a breed that's going to be extinct if they don't. They're just pure white. But I'm going to look up some more about your talking. And I don't know why. Now, why would you see that with me? Why did you see that with me, you know?
I don't know. That's just what my guides showed me. Now, they showed me that more as what I would say. I mean, I guess it depends on how you look at it as more of a totem is if I were going to separate the two, I would say that a totem is kind of the symbolic or the archetype representation of us if we were animals, our behaviors. And so I would see the white lion as a totem. Whereas a guide is more an animal that maybe protects, looks out for us. Now, that's just my opinion, and it doesn't necessarily, you don't have to agree with that. But does it list I have two questions. Does it list a country?
Yeah.
Okay, what
Africa.
Country is?
It just says it, they're seen in the remote African Valley, and they're considered white lions are the messengers of the gods.
Wow.
That's what they are. I want to see how big they are, because you know I've done research on regular lions, and I think there's one lion that's 800 or 900 pounds, and they can be 10 feet in length. Now imagine, I am 5'2", and that would be double
huge.
Of me standing if they were standing up or
right.
standing, you know, just standing on the ground. That is huge.
Well, I mean, that's almost the size of a grizzly bear.
Yes, exactly. But they're seen in remote the African Valley. When a white lion is miraculously born into that valley, he finds himself destined to protect, the people of the valley, they protect this rare and magnificent creature at all costs. I would like to know more about, the IMBD is like IMDB is like, you know, they tell about everybody in the world, anybody that's anybody, they'll put something up there about them. But I would really like to go. I'm going to go on on Google, because I'm going to find not Google, but it's Bing, and I'm going to find something else on them while you're speaking, because I find this fascinating. So when you go to somebody, and can somebody just come and say, well, can you tell me what my animal totem or my animal guide is? I mean, I think you did that with me, didn't you?
Yes. I mean, yeah, and I have people, and sometimes clients will say, you know, they will tell me, you know, that they feel that a certain animal has a totem or a guide because they have such an affinity, or perhaps they see it in their dreams, or they see it, it's something that continually comes up in their life. And my other question was, I wondered if the white, I know that some animals that are white, just like with humans that are considered, you know, I mean, there's some of us that are just blonde, pale, but if it's considered a genetic mutation, and they're considered albino, or if it's just considered...
I found it. It's the white lion is a rare color mutation of the Timbavati, however you say it. They are not albinos. In 1979, three litters containing white lions were recorded in the Kruger National Park. I'm going to continue while we're talking away here. This is fascinating. What's cool about this is it would be nice if some people will say, well, I've been told that this is my totem, that would be really cool. Somebody told me this, and, well, I could just whip it out from right here and just tell you all about it. But, yeah, they are very, very rare. I mean, there's got to be something better that I can find. I really should have done this before, but I didn't. I'm not. I should have been looking. And they're white lions of mezzanine are not albinos. Maybe Wikipedia will tell me more, right? It should. White lions are the same as the tawny African lion. White lions are not a separate subspecies and are thought to be indigenous to that region of South Africa, the Timbavati, for centuries, although the earliest recorded sighting in this region was in 1938, regarded as divine by locals. That would mean the people of that area. White lions first came to public attention in the 1970s. White lions are not albinos. Their white color is caused by a recessive trait derived from a less severe mutation in the same gene that causes albinism, distinct from the gene responsible for white tigers. They vary from blonde to near white. The coloration does not appear to disadvantage their survival. They are under a lion protection trust at this time, because there's probably not that many of them left, and recessive gene gives white lions their unusual colors. I'm looking to see what color their eyes are. That would be really cool, wouldn't it? Gosh, you should see that little cub, a white lion cub. Oh, my God, I could take it home. Can you imagine?
Well, maybe
guess what, did I? I have a lion cub here. They're beautiful. If you get a chance, go look. And I don't want to continue on this forever, but I'm going to keep looking here and see if I can find anything about the color of their eyes. I'm just looking at Wikipedia because it seems to have almost everything, you know, that you would want to know. Oh, they have pigment. There it is. They have pigment visible in their eyes, which may be normal hazel.
Say that again. Say that again.
Pardon me? They have pigment visible in the eyes, which may be the normal hazel or golden color, blue-gray, or green-gray. Blue-eyed white lions exist and may be selectively bred. Wow, isn't that something? I just knew instinctively that they had green eyes. I can see that golden color in front of me in this lion. I don't even know how big they get, but they look pretty big to me. But they can be blonde to near white.
Okay. Now, do you feel that you have a totem or a guide that's a white lion?
I'll tell you why. Because I like lions anyhow, you know, because of what I was writing about. And that was just a name that came to me. But the lion in my story is just a regular, you know, brown kind of lion, but very, very big. and it's
so
a male.
You're writing with the lions.
Yeah, it's called She Sits with the Lions.
Oh, that's
and that's
right.
Me. And that's me.
About them. Oh,
huh?
Wow. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I respect in the story, and I don't want to take up the whole time, but in the story, I am faced with one, the biggest one. He's the leader. He's the big male. And we end up sitting next to each other. And I allow that because I look at him like a domestic cat, how a cat would do with their tail is straight up. They're happy, happy. If it's kind of down and they're crouched down, oh, be careful. And you look at their eyes and you look at the ears. My cat's ears get really pointy sometimes. He looks like he's got an airplane on his head. I mean, I just think that whenever I see it. And you know he's not pleased about something. And so writing the story, of course, I mean, it's almost magical and fairy tale-ish. Now, there is a man out there who does live, work with the lions. He trains them. He's got lots of them and their babies and all of that. It's not impossible, but this is kind of a love story kind of thing. But, yeah, but, you know, I never thought of having a white one. I might change the color. I never really changed the color. Oh, but they're beautiful. Oh, my gosh, Maya, they are just magnificent. They really, really are. The little cubs.
Yeah, I just know that from time to time, you know, we've been on the air for years, we will revisit subjects because we're always getting new listeners and, you know, we get new information. I mean, it's just like any subject, you come across new information or you learn something new that you want to share or you are, you know.
Exactly.
And I just remember that we were going back and forth. I think there was three or four of us that time, and we were talking about, and I just know that's what my dad had shown me around you. That came through the strongest was a white. In fact, I really wasn't even sure at the time if such an animal, because if you remember, we were trying to figure out, was it a lion, was it a leopard, was it what, you know,
yeah.
What exact species was it? Because we weren't really sure, I don't think,
right.
At the time. So it wasn't as if I had, you know, I looked something up. It was just what I was shown. But what's really interesting, and that might just be because it seems so regal to me, and I mean, I know that's funny to say that about an animal, that it comes from royalty, but, you know, raising show dogs, I would definitely say that there's dogs that come from champion or royalty in terms of their pedigree versus just, and not that they make their better pets or they're better, I don't want to say that, but, you know, there is a difference. But, you know, I wondered if this creature, if this lion was something that had, you know, had existed in reality in another time, or if it was part a mythical creature, like, for example, you know, a unicorn. Some people believe that.
Right.
I mean, I just watched something not too long ago where a scientist was showing proof based on some findings that were dug up that unicorns actually did exist. It was right, I believe, right after the Jurassic period. We don't really know. I mean, look at some of the critters that are around today. I mean, they really look like they could be. I mean, even alligators and crocodiles to me look very prehistoric. So what's interesting to me is that this is a real creature, and the eyes were so vivid, and it could be, I know that when I get information, sometimes it's given to me a little bit more dramatically or more vividly so that I don't miss the message or I don't miss a detail. So perhaps the eyes were really this beautiful green, I mean, just such a strong, not a green color that I recall seeing in an animal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, perhaps, but it definitely, it was not a tawny color. It was not a hazel it wasn't a brownish. It was a very distinct, and especially against that white, and it was a very beautiful, pure white. And, you know,
yep, that's
what
they are. I mean, there are some that are not pure white, but there are many that are. There's one in the Cincinnati Zoo, and there is one in the Toledo Zoo.
Oh, my goodness.
But they're very careful when they breed them because of the genetics. They don't want to take something. You know how sometimes if you breed it with something that's not quite close enough, you're going to get this off color. So they really make sure. They know how to do it. I mean, I'm not finding how big they can get. But in my search on lions from before, because I did some research for my story, they can be, the males are the biggest, and they can be anywhere from 500 to 900 pounds and up to 10 feet long. Those are the males, of course. Those are the ones with the manes and all that. And they are so well respected, of course, because they're the strongest. There is a lion that is 900 pounds, and they call him Hercules. And they have a picture online of this woman standing next to this lion, and he towers over her head. So can you imagine with me? I'm only 5'2". I'd be like a little nothing there. One swipe of the big paw, and I'd be gone.
Now, what do you think about this? Do you think that perhaps I know that when males are lions and females are lioness. Okay, so
right.
I'm wondering if what I was shown possibly was a male, but because it was younger, it had yet to grow in its mane and its
could have been very young. I don't know.
Do you feel any?
I feel it's one of the males that struts around and is the boss. But of course, you know, I'm writing a story, and that's how I have this lion. He's feared by all of them, and he is the boss. And if he moves, the rest of the pride moves. But he's not real super old, but he's really big. And I was thinking about adding more to my story. Every once in a while, I get these things in my head, you know. And then when you mentioned, I was thinking back to what we were going to talk about tonight. And I really started thinking about this white lion. And the little cubs, they look like little dogs. That's what they look like. Fluffy and white and, like, I call it fuzzy. You know, they have this fuzziness to them. Oh, I could take one of them home. pretty, look what's at my house. Can you see it now? But, you know, and the two that used to perform out in Vegas, what were their names? Siegfried and Roy. I think they had a white lion, or they housed white lions. They had all kinds of them. And I was there to see that once, and what a magnificent show. This was before one of them got hurt. And they really say that he had some kind of either a stroke or a heart attack or something, one of the, either Siegfried or Roy, I don't know which one it was, and that cat was actually pulling him off the stage, not trying to hurt him, because he knew he was in pain. And that's what that's what it came down to. They didn't destroy him. They didn't kill him at all. So that's what they felt. Of course, I don't think they performed really much after that, because that was their big thing with the lions, you know.
What I remember, a few things that I remember. Now, I was not big fans of the show, and not for any particular. I wasn't boycotting it or anything. It just wasn't something that I took the time to get very involved in. But I know that I had read something not too long ago that said because of the, not just that, but because of, you know, elephants and so many accidents happening, people being harmed, that Vegas, now that may not be true of other cities or counties, but Vegas banned all large live animal shows. Now I know, like, there's SeaWorld and that, but I'm talking about Las Vegas.
Yeah, the shows in Vegas, like, they were the one. They had the lions.
Yeah, now I didn't know they were white ones.
They were so well behaved It was amazing. I mean, I sat in awe, and we had very good seats, and I could not,
what
I mean, I
saying?
Think I was the only one taken back by it, because I was just amazed. They were just magnificent.
Wow, you got to see them up close.
Yeah,
I mean,
and that was, it was a white lion. They had one white lion.
Oh,
yeah, I got to see, and they had the stage so that they could come out and walk with the lions, a lion,
right,
one at a time. You know, one of them, so that you would actually get a pretty close look at them. They weren't far away from you. You know, the Vegas stages were that they had it so it would jut out. Part of the stage would come out so you could see the performers, you know, the singers or whatever who was performing. You could see them very well. Oh, yeah, it was magnificent. I was quite impressed. I never got to go back, but I was so glad I got to see that because it wasn't, I don't know how many years later that they had that accident. But they just determined that, because he did have a heart attack, and they figured that, I forget what the lion's name was, that the lion saw the stress on his trainer, and I can't remember if it was Siegfried or if it was Roy, and immediately grabbed him to pull him away, not to hurt him. And that's exactly what they determined because he did a lot of findings on it, you know, and everything. And they had all kinds of animals around their homes, their home there in Vegas. And I was just always fascinated with it, you know. But yeah, you told me it wasn't a leopard. You just said a white lion, and that's how I remember it too. And this was several years ago, right, Maya?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, this was probably at least three years ago, maybe even longer.
It
was quite some time ago. Now, tell me about, you had mentioned that you have an affinity for giraffes. How do you explain that and what do you feel about?
Well, when I lived in Michigan, there was a man. He was a doctor. I had this, it was called First Fitness. It was a line of products, health products, okay? So we approached him to see if he wanted to be in my downline. Well, come to find out, he had been to Africa, and he had pictures on his wall that he had taken, because I've got several of them, and I've got a wooden statue of a giraffe he gave to me from Africa that he picked up. And then he gave me this other picture because there's all kinds of, there's rectangular giraffes and the reticular. There's all kinds of different kinds of giraffes with their spots, you know, how they're produced. And I just looked at them, and he said to me, you know, he said, hey, you've seen giraffes before, like in the zoo. And I said, well, the Detroit Zoo, but nothing like this. I mean, these were beautiful pictures, you know. Well, from then on, for some reason, he called me the giraffe lady. So, I mean, we laughed and joked about it. And then one day, he had me come to his office, and he wasn't very far. His medical office wasn't very far. And I went to see him, and he handed me something all wrapped up. And I said, what is this, you know? I mean, he was just the sweetest man, very, very sweet, very a very good doctor, you know, really cared about what he was doing, wanted to make people healthy. And so I opened it, and here was this picture of these two giraffes from their neck to their head. One was in front of the other in a
mm-hmm.
double frame. It was double matted. I have it in my bathroom. And I just looked at him. I said, well, oh, my gosh. I said, you know, he told me he went there many times. He told me about the giraffe manor where you could stay, and they put their heads through, and you can pet them. And, oh, my, I was in my glory. Oh, God. And so then a month or so later, he gave me something else. And he gave me the originals. I mean, you can get them now anywhere, but he brought these home. And they're awesome.
Right.
They were two different kinds of giraffes because you can see how they are. You know, one has a really dark brown spot. One is a little lighter. One kind of blends. There's all kinds of types of giraffes. And he said, I want you to have this. He said, it's obviously so much more meaningful to you. And what I like about them, if you look at their heads and you look at their ears, are like rounded and they're soft. And then I'll tell you something else. I was in Busch Gardens, and my husband, when he was well and everything, he took movies of this. That was probably one of the best days that I've ever had to get something happen for me that I wished for, you know. We went to Busch Gardens, and they had, you know, they always have wild animals running around and all that. Well, they had this flatbed that they were going to take out. It was the last one of the day, and they only had two seats, not seats you would stand. And we were with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, and they both looked at me and said, well, you want to go to this, so we don't really care if we go. So we went. It was like $20 a piece, which was a lot of money then to us. So we got on this flatbed. Well, the lady was from Africa. She had the accent and everything. She told us all about the giraffes and the rhinos and all of that. And for some reason, she called me up to her, and I still don't know why. She must have seen the look in my eyes when she was talking about the giraffes, I think. I walked up, you know, I walked up across the flatbed. There were lots of people, maybe 20, 25 of us. And she said, I want you to stand here with me. And I said, why? She said, you just stand here with me. You're going to see. Well, she must have had this feeling about me. And she just kind of knew. And sure enough, five giraffes came up. And I had this one. She said, don't move. Just stand right here. She says, you're going to see that one of them is going to come to you and hang all over you. I said, why? She said, I just have this feeling about you that this giraffe is going to love you. And she says, sometimes they walk right by. They don't pay any attention. You can have lettuce in your hand. They don't bother. You know, they just, you know, keep walking away. Well, sure enough, this one came up, and she got this biggest grin. Well, my husband was right away turning the movie camera on, and everybody moved away because I was the only one this giraffe came to. And he put his head around me. I think it was a male. Put his head around me, you know, and I got to pet it. And I got this close-up, this just close-up look of this giraffe and his beautiful eyes and his ears and that face. It just did something to me. And she was telling me all about them, about the different kinds of spots that they have that come from different regions. And she was talking to me, and everybody said, you know, a few people said, well, how come the giraffe came to her? And this woman said, I don't know, but I knew he was going to. There was something about her, and she looked at me. She says, there's just something about you that I knew that one of them would see and need to be near you. It was the greatest moment in my life. I mean, to be that close to something so magnificent. And you know, they're vegetarians. They don't come and try to bite you or anything. And that giraffe just hung around me and my husband. I still have the movies, and it was just a beautiful thing for me. And then, you know, we kept the flatbed kept moving because everybody wanted, you know, they didn't want to keep looking at me getting all the attention. They wanted to go see the other animals, which was fine. I mean, I had my glory in the sun, so to speak. And after we got done, she came up to me, and she said, I just want to give you a hug. And I said, why? She said, I don't know. I just think you're very special. She says, you know, the animals around here see lots of people. And sometimes they take to somebody, sometimes they don't. But I've never seen a giraffe do what he did to you. Usually they'll come and sniff you a little bit and walk away, or they'll go around to the other side of the flatbed. But she said, it was like you had center attention of this giraffe. And she says, I don't know what the reason is, and I don't know who you are, but she said, you're very special. And I never forgot her. She's on the film. And, you know, that's why I came to love the giraffes. You know, I had a fondness anyways from this doctor that gave me all these gifts. And it was just in my mind, I guess, and just something that I needed to be close to. And it was a beautiful thing for me. It really, really was. And you would think that would have been my totem or my guide. Now, can you have a different totem and a different guide, Maya?
I believe that you can, yes. Yes, I believe you can have more than one of each. And I believe that our totem is our animal reflection of what we are. You know, it symbolizes our, you know, our more instinctual way that we are, but it also can, you know, overlap in the things that it does. And then we can have something different that's a guide that gives us wisdom. And it's almost like it, for those that believe that we have, you know, of course, I always refer to my guides, and we have different animals too. I believe one or two that are more play a more influential role, I guess I would say, but we can have several, and one can be more leading us away from physical danger, warning us of physical danger. We can have one that guides us, say, in business, one in love. I mean, they can work similarly to our spiritual guides. It's just a little bit different. And I would say the only thing that I don't believe, and I know that a lot of people do, and that's okay. We're all different. I don't believe that humans can reincarnate into anything but humans. Now, that doesn't mean we can't shapeshift. Shapeshifting, which is why I said this is going to be, because we're already
right.
past the first half of the first show.
Yeah.
That's,
and I took up the whole thing. No.
No. I mean, that's good that we have a lot
yeah.
to share on this subject. So to me, shapeshifting is temporarily for a myriad of purposes, taking on the shape and the physical attributes of a particular animal. For example, in this case, it would be an animal, but reincarnation means that we're coming back and spending a lifetime or our physical life as an animal. And I don't believe that species can switch. I don't believe that dogs can reincarnate as cats.
I don't believe that either.
Okay. Now, I'm not sure about snails.
I don't know about them either. But, but I'm just wondering, like if somebody were to come to you and say, well, I would like to know about my totem or my animal guide, is it difficult for you to see that? I don't see that at all. I'm not going to profess that I know everything about it. I mean, you really do know a lot about it. But is that an easy thing that you can do for clients to come to you?
Well, I mean, I believe a lot of it depends on the client. If the client is fairly open, and I would say the majority of clients that ask that type of question are fairly elevated in their spirituality. And so, therefore, I would say that, you know, I'm not saying that I'm not bragging at all whatsoever and saying that it's instantaneous, but I believe that that does come through. I'll be shown generally what the information that I get is visions more than anything and symbols that I didn't always understand, but after I've been in this for over 35 years, I've come to recognize that when my guides show me this symbol, it means this. And so, yes, I can usually accommodate them and let them know at least one or two, not necessarily all of them. It may be more difficult to do that. But yes, I mean, it's, and in fact, I would say for me sometimes, it's easier to describe a totem or guide, an animal totem or guide, than when clients come and say, can you describe my guide to me? Because I see our guides more in just a spiritual form. Now, on occasion, I do see something, physical attributes that are very cultural or stand out or, you know, denote something very specific other than just a person. But I would say it's actually harder to work with, you know, and to try to give a name and, you know, what they look like to a spiritual guide than it is to an animal totem or guide. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Have you ever thought about what yours is? I mean, I can't even begin to. I mean, I don't get anything that would apply to you, but have you ever given it any thought about what your animal totem or guide might be?
Yeah, I know exactly. My main totem, and it sometimes works as my guide, is a wolf.
Oh, okay.
And I had... I was always drawn to wolves my whole life. In fact, I don't do very well at the zoo. You know, you were talking about before how being empathic, being an empath, and, you know, picking up the vibrations. For me, the zoo is generally not a pleasurable experience. I feel the pain of the animals, and I understand to a point that some studies, and we have to, you know, we have to have some cages, or, you know, we have to do some of that in order to keep some of the species from going extinct. But I just feel that the sadness, especially like with the cats.
Yeah, them being in a cage,
And, you know, the wolves, of course, they almost were killed to extinction for their fur, mostly, and because they were natural predators. And as, you know, as humans moved in, deforestation and all that, and began moving into their territory, they began, you know, they were competing, of course, with us. And sadly, at the time that they almost became extinct, we weren't even killing, like, for example, the American Indian, when they went on a buffalo hunt, they used every bit of that buffalo. I mean, every single bit. They used the hide, they used the bladder, they used the stomach.
Yeah, everything. You're right. I've heard that before.
But then, sadly, it was Americans or immigrants that came into this country, other people, that came and slaughtered hundreds of buffaloes just for, you know, one thing about them. I mean, I don't want to sound, a lot of the certain parts of their body were supposed to have herbal and medicinal properties that were used for virility is one of them. So that part of the bull. And so they just slaughtered these animals and then took their horns, or they took their hide and then just left the carcasses just rotting away. And so at any rate, what happened is the wolves then, their food source in the food chain became taken, and it wasn't their fault, and it wasn't a natural progression. It was something that was done with no compassion or thought, you know, by humans. And so they began to prey then on farmers. And I can understand both sides. I can understand that a farmer cannot afford in today's economy to lose their sheep and their goats and their perhaps even their cows and chickens and all that to any type of predator, including the wolf. But sadly, they've reintroduced, and the wolves are doing really well now. I mean, they are now starting to spread out. In fact, about a year ago, I live in Northwest Arkansas, and we have coyotes, and they're pretty large compared to the coyotes in Southern California, which are very scrawny, weigh about 40 pounds. So they're very
tall. They are kind of skinny, and they walk with their tails down. They're kind of not beautiful by any stretch of the imagination. Unless they would be on alert, maybe they would look really pretty, you know, like, oh, something's coming. Yeah.
Now, out here, they're larger. They're closer to 60 pounds. But I can tell you, as sure as anything, I know my animals very, very, very well. I've always been an outdoor person. I've always loved animals and studied, you know, maybe not so much the very exotic ones, but I'm talking about especially wolves. You know, I mean, I have an affinity with wolves. Excuse me. And I can tell you that it was dawn. It was just the sun was just coming up, and it was out in what we call the hills. And I was on a road trip, probably going to a dog show is about what The only thing I can think of why I would be driving so early, you know, it was right around when the time changes and it's still really dark in the morning. At any rate,
yeah.
I saw was a wolf. It was not a coyote. It was not a coyote. It was a wolf. There are very distinct differences. And for me,
aren't they
big?
They're bigger, aren't they?
They're bigger. Their muscles are different.
Their legs are longer too. They stand high. I mean, they're not.
Colors are a lot different. They from ear to ear, the broadness of the skull, the top skull is much broader. They're just. I mean, it would be like mistaking. Mistaking a house cat for a lynx. I mean, some people perhaps, but your average person that owns a cat is not going to mistake, or they're not going to mistake, for example, you know, you see these things on the internet about they brought what they thought was puppies and it turned out they were fox or whatever.
Yeah.
But I saw a wolf, and I had a vision many, many years ago. I already knew that the wolf was my totem, and that the wolf served me in many ways and had been with me for a long time. And I had a very strong vision, and it showed me the wolf. And I also was given names of what I called it. The outside circle of my guide, both animal and spiritual guide. So it was a very interesting, very, very interesting vision. And it was one of those where you're not really asleep, but you're in that theta, I guess, state, I would call it.
Yeah.
So you're not completely... Like, I wasn't sitting here like I am now, wide awake, but I wasn't dreaming either. And I was shown very clearly, and I was given the names of some of the different guides and stuff, and it was very good. And I was shown that what I call the outer circle, which guards, it's metaphoric for more spiritual, like I said in the beginning, than actual physical, but it can help with the physical as well, too. You know, like car accidents, warning you, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a spiritual being that tends our fire, and that just means our spiritual light is what I was shown. And the wolf ran the outer circle. Sorry, now I'm talking too much, I know.
You'll get disconnected. That's God's way of saying, oh, shut up. You're talking too much.
It's God's way of saying, okay, turn it over to Natalie. So,
yeah,
yes,
that's enough. We've heard enough. No, we have to have fun. No, you have to talk, too. I could talk the whole hour, I think, probably. My voice is really husky this morning, and I thought to myself, oh, I won't be able to talk. That's going to be awful. Because my voice is my plus, you know, everybody likes my voice. And so I'm thinking, oh, geez, you'll never know it's me if I'm husky like this. But you see, isn't it funny how we attach ourselves to certain animals? Now, say somebody likes a giraffe, not a giraffe, an elephant. And they would come to you and say, well, you know, I really love elephants. Could that be my totem or my guide? Is that possible that they actually have connected with one or the other, a totem or a guide, and by loving the giraffes? Is that possible?
Yes. I mean, it's possible that you just happen to like that animal, but it's just as likely and just as possible that, you know, that you're drawn to that. And the reason is because it is your guide.
So what do we think this lion is? You think it's my guide, or I don't know. I'm trying to think how I feel. Well, you know, the white lion is supposed to be the messenger of the gods, but I don't know. I can see it in my head, though. you know, I can see in my head what it looks like. Of course, I was just looking on the internet, but still, I had a vision of that, even when you told me that quite a while ago. But isn't it funny? See, I do love giraffes. And they're so gentle looking, and they really are very gentle. I mean, they can defend themselves, but for the most part, they're not going to take a bite out of you because they're vegetarians. So, but it, you know, it's really funny because on National Geographic, Jackie, everybody that knows Stars knows Jackie is Stars JC. Well, she knows I love giraffes, right? So she found this on the internet, this video of giraffes that was taken in Africa, and they had like a series, an hour. Well, you know, I couldn't get it because I have DirecTV, and I couldn't get it on a TV station. So I wrote to them. Listen to this. I wrote to them, and I said, you know, I have this affinity for them, and I only got to see like 5 minutes. Is there any way it's going to be run again, or maybe run? I can see it video online. So a few days went by, and I get this email, and this man said, here's the link, and you can view it until November 26th. Well, I just took that as an omen. Then I went looking for giraffe calendars. So I end up writing to this lady because they have this beautiful poster. It tells about all the different kinds. Like I told you, there's reticulars, and there's like I think 4 or 5 different kinds of giraffes, meaning how they look, their appearance. And I said to her, gee, I would like to get a poster. I said, but you offer it as a download. It was free, but I don't want it on regular paper. So I didn't hear from her. Then she wrote me back again, and she said, let me do some little investigation for you. Because I thought, because of my getting this movie sent to me, I thought, oh, she's going to figure out a way for me to do this. She, you know, I haven't heard from her, but I think I could get probably heavier paper to go into my computer, I mean into my printer, because it'll do like 11 by 17. And this is a nice, beautiful poster. And I made a suggestion. I said, you should really talk to somebody about selling these, and that money would go to National Geographic. It will be in support of the giraffes. We wrote back a few times. She says, that's really a great idea. I said, well, there are people who would really love this, but I don't want it on a flimsy piece of paper. I want to hang it on my wall, maybe even put it in a frame. I haven't heard back from her yet. I said, if I had to pay $5, $10 for this poster, I would do it because it's just magnificent. The colors are magnificent.
And what about a calendar? Have you ever come across
any? Oh, yeah, they have calendars too, and she suggested that. And I said, I've already found them, but I wanted to make sure it was for 2017. She said, oh, yes, and beautiful. I haven't ordered it yet, but it's on my little list here on my desk. I get so busy sometimes with everything that I do that the things that I want to come way down at the bottom, kind of like I just overlook it, you know. But I will get the calendar because I'm going to see this movie that they have that he sent me the link to. Anybody could see it now. And Jackie thought, she says, I think they leave it or they put the whole thing on for so many days or so many weeks, so you should be able to view it. I cannot wait. I saw just a hint of it, and as soon as I get some time, maybe tomorrow I'll do that. But I've been so busy, you know. Everybody knows I was not in the hurricane, but we were hit, and it took from October 7th to now, today, they finally removed household goods, and they're going to move the debris. My street, it looked horrible, horrific, and the people were so upset.
The places that were ruined because they were flooded.
They were flooded. I had damage in my garage. But the people that came, they were from FEMA. They were hired by FEMA, outside contractors, and this lady, well, you know, I'm just a big schmoozer. I mean, I can get anybody to do anything. And so I was talking to her, and I didn't know who she was. And so I said to her, well, am I going to see you Monday? She said, yes, definitely, we're going to come back. And so she came back today with these guys in this big, huge truck with this big claw. Well, my neighbor and I, Diane and I, you know, we came out because we looked across the street, and it had to be near the curb. And I said to her, I said, well, Diane and I are going to move some of this stuff because he's at work. He's not going to get back in time. So she was even helping. She said, I'm not even supposed to do this. And then I had some stuff that wasn't supposed to be put into this big, huge truck. And the guy came up to me, and I said, well, I have a couple computers. Can you take those? He said, well, we're not supposed to. I said, okay, what do you think I should do with it? He walked away. He said, don't worry, honey. I got you covered. And he put them in the truck. So it was just like, you know, my son came over and he says, "Yep, that's my mother. She can get anything done whenever she wants. Not anything, but if it's kind, and I always do it with kindness, you know that. I do everything under grace, yeah. Now they're going to come back again tomorrow and pick up all the debris, but yeah. So, you know, I forgot even why I said that to you. Why did I say that to you? Does anybody remember why I was even talking about that? Oh, I haven't had time to get my calendar because we've been concentrating on getting all this stuff together and separated. Now they're going to pick up, like, the appliances, like the refrigerators and the microwaves and stoves, and one of my computers went across the street. And because they have to pick that up separately, and they're putting everything in a landfill. And I said to the guy, I said, "Is this thing big enough?" He said, "You ought to see it. It's so deep. But think about it. Doesn't that kind of, it's in the soil. It's in the ground. I just wish there was a better way." See, that's conservation. It is sad, you know, but it has to go someplace. So anyways, we could talk about hurricanes. I learned something else while I was talking to them, too, about Baton Rouge was really hit bad, not with a hurricane. But anyways, that's why I have not gotten my giraffe. It's on my list, my little thing. And I have all these little little stuffed animals. My granddaughter gets me, and I've got a big one. Oh, my house is filled with giraffes. I want to go to Kenya. I want to go to the giraffe manor. I would be just... You would think I died and went to heaven. I would be in my glory. I would be so happy. And I know somebody who did a seminar. They were in a seminary or something there. I know him well. He said, "If you ever get to go, you let me know ahead of time. I'll get you the right guide." He said, because it's very specific there. And he lived there for 2 years. So, see, I got it in. I just got to get there.
Right.
Here she is, Natalie, with her giraffe. Can you imagine? It'd be hilarious. It's one of my things that I would love to do. But anyways, and you know, look at the time. I've talked too much. So, but next week we're going to be back with part two, and we won't be talking about Natalie so much, no. And Maya will give us now you know most of the animals that would be a totem or a guide, correct? So do certain animals represent certain things? Like if you're really a compassionate person, would an animal, would that be one of your totems or one of your guides?
That's why I said that in some cases, one or more of our animals are the animal representation of ourselves, which is what you can maybe think about and then talk with us next week, is what you... If you were an animal, do you see yourself more as the attributes and the personality, the traits of a giraffe or a lion?
Or the lion.
Different,
well, so. I guess if I was heading up anything, I would be a lion. You know me. But I don't know. See, the giraffe can schmooze. The giraffe can look at you and you just melt because that face and those ears, I mean, it would be like, "Oh, come on, Natalie, follow me." I would follow them. You know, because I think certain animals, they do represent you. A lion, a white lion, for me, you know, because of what I do, and it's white. I mean, how beautiful would that be for me? You know, that's like the perfect totem for me or guide for me, really, in what I do, and separate from the giraffe, you know. But isn't it funny? I'm writing a story about lions, a specific lion.
Yeah, I mean, it is, And I think that it even...
I never thought of it until, actually, when we were talking just now, a little bit ago, I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, I have to mention that, too, yeah. It's coming along. I'll post some of it. I have to make sure that I have it copyrighted. You can put a C there. I don't want anybody to steal it, but I am in contact with somebody for my site. So when I'm talking to him, I'll ask about that before I post it. I don't want anybody to take it from me, so... It's a very specialized story of, actually, it's about me and a special man. So, and my lion, my big lion that sits there with me and protects me from everything, and everybody's petrified. Oh, I hope I can write it good enough that people will understand, but it's going to be coming from within when I write. That's how I do it. You know, I just kind of, it won't be in really story form. It'll be maybe mostly, a lot of it's in the third person, like, it's the lady and the man. I have not even given them names yet maybe some down the road I will, but nothing has come to me yet. But anyways, so, okay, that's enough, Natalie. You need to stop talking. But anyways, I enjoyed tonight so much. We had quite a few people in the room. Of course, Stars Priestess Candy is in there. We had somebody named Miss Pretty, and she was really enjoying the show because she sent me an I Am, and that's really great. And, of course, you know, we never know who's called in to listen because people can do that, and I have no way to know, even on my dashboard, unless they call in to speak to us. But what a wonderful show. Maya, you just know so much, and I know next week you're going to plan what we're going to talk about, and it won't be so much about me, but the other animals that come to be totems. Like, I'll ask all kinds of questions. Can a snake be a totem? And all that kind of stuff. And I just think it's wonderful, and you are wonderful. And Candy, I love you very much. And Maya Moon, of course, I love you lots. We all know how much we love each other. Stars is a unique place. And I'm kind of talking to Miss Pretty, who's still in the room. It's like a family. She went to the site. I told her, go to the site. And it's like a family. You know, they're all hired by me. I interview everybody, and I've kept it to a low number specifically because I want to have the ratio correct. I don't want too many readers and not enough clients and all of that. And I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago that we're going to be incorporating, and I think it's almost done, Tony and I are going to be testing it, about this streaming with our audio, and we will have classrooms where that, like, you know, I know you want to teach, Maya, and others want to teach, and you'll be able to actually talk to the students in the room, and it will have video. If you, like, you know, one of my readers wants to do Reiki, and you'll be able to show that on video. Nobody, it's not a thing that anybody really has to do, but it will be something that will be, you know, it's not going to be an absolute that you have to do video, but in some cases with classes, people like to see, like, I can teach cards, and actually, but I could just talk to you about it, but to see me laying out the cards would be really cool. So anyways, with that, I'm going to take it over. You can go back now, Maya, and you can start talking and say your good night, and I said everything that I want to say, which is usually too much. But anyways, I love it. I love this show. I love Maya and Candy. And it's just this warm, wonderful feeling that you get when you listen to us. Everybody loves to hear us. And it's just a matter of getting it out. And I'll be posting this on Twitter that the show can be listened to. Candy does it on Facebook all the time for me and Twitter. She goes back and forth with everything. Do go and look at the magazine, mysticlivingtoday.com. It's a huge issue. I had authors sending me 3 articles, and then they'd send me an excerpt, and they're coming out of the woodwork. I mean, if you look at the magazine, you'll see how big it is. It's just tremendous, and I don't solicit for any material. It just comes to me. So I'm already getting stuff. As soon as the issue goes up, that first week, second week, I'm getting them all back again. So it's a wonderful thing. I have a wonderful job. I really do. I love it so much. I really do. So anyways, okay, back to you, Maya. You can say your goodnight.
Okay, well, good night to everyone, and think about animals, I guess, and we'll see you next week, same time, same channel.
Yep, and same lovely people talking on the air and the lovely Candy in the chat room. So good night, everybody. We'll see you next week with part 2 on understanding animal totems and or animal guides. Bye-bye. Have a good evening.
Bye.